Happy New Year, and thank you for joining us for the second Harp Column podcast, where we will be bringing you behind-the-article interviews from a practical harpist's perspective. My name is Christina Finch, and I will be your guide to all things harp. Today's episode is brought to you by Harp Column Music at harpcolumnmusic.com, where you can download PDFs of some of the best new arrangements and compositions for solo, ensemble, and chamber harp. One new addition to the collection that's already made its way into my gig book is Love in Bloom by Krista Grix. The piece is available at www.harpcolumnmusic.com and is available as a PDF for only $8. For our second episode, I chat with New York City harpist Laura Sherman, the author of the Sounding Board article in the latest issue of Harp Column. To get everything started, I'll have Laura introduce herself.
My name is Laura Sherman. I'm a harpist in New York City. Been here about 30 years. My main job is playing the harp for the Broadway show Wicked.
How long have you been playing for Wicked?
12 years.
Do you find it to be rewarding to have worked on a project for so long?
Absolutely, yeah. I find it challenges you in a lot of different ways because as freelancers, we're always doing new things. We have to be very quick. We're put in different circumstances. You know, we move the harp there, we play someplace, we meet new people sometimes, play new music, and then we're gone, right? So you're constantly in these different environments. And so it just takes a whole different set of skills to sit in one place and play the same music 8 times a week, year after year. I don't know if you know, but I'm not actually in the pit. They ran out of room because the scenery at the show is so large it actually goes down into the pit. So they put me in what's called a stars dressing room on stage level. So I'm in my own room. When you're completely isolated from everybody else, you have to really listen very carefully and remember what everybody does down there and try to match it too. So that's a good challenge. I hope it's made me a better musician.
I wrote my way out, wrote everything down far as I could.
If you've read Laura's Sounding Board article, you know that she took part in the cast recording of the new Broadway hit, Hamilton. I'll let her give you a rundown of what the show is about.
It's based on the life of Alexander Hamilton, on a book that was written by Ron Chernow, the historian, and is written in hip-hop style, but also many other different kinds of style. Everything from Beatles rock to Led Zeppelin type rock to folk, classical music. And Alex actually did what instruments were being used in America at the time. Like the banjo is an instrument that's used in there. You know, like, so he tries to keep the instrumentation and the orchestrations in tune with the historical facts as well. So you're using the modern language of hip hop and rap and things, in addition to all the styles of the time.
It's so interesting, the combination of hip-hop and the historical storyline are kind of counterintuitive, but from what I can tell from the recording, the storyline and the characters' voices mix so well with the musical styles, it's almost like the story was meant to be told in this way.
Absolutely.
In a truly American voice, which is hip-hop.
Lin-Manuel Miranda wrote the book and the music, and he speaks exactly about that, that when you listen to like the cabinet meetings and the interactions that people had, it's very, very much like with the hip hop world and the way that they interact. And so he picked up this book on vacation and just started reading it. He couldn't believe that somebody hadn't written a Broadway show about this yet. You know, and then he made the connection of how similar it was to the hip hop world. And so he said, this is just a natural fit.
Right. I mean, when I first read your article, and just in the beginning, it's a musical about Alexander Hamilton. And this, to me, seemed very strange. It doesn't seem like a topic that would work well with music, but it's so perfect. I love it.
It's infiltrated my conscious, subconscious, my daily life. This often happens when I have to learn a project really quickly. Mm-hmm. You know, and I find myself quoting from it all the time because it's just so relevant. I mean, even if you listen to like the debates today or how people talk about politics today, I just immediately think about how it happened back during Revolutionary War times. And the public's reaction to it, especially with kids, has been tremendous. Somebody sent me an article the other day that said that there are 5-year-olds who have been listening and that they can quote the lyrics and that they're starting to dress with the high socks like they do in the show. And so I think it's great if it can actually influence the younger generations to get excited about history and to learn about American history in particular.
You mentioned having to learn a project quickly. How far in advance of the recording session did you get the book?
I got the music about 3 days. I had spoken to Alex Lacamoire, who's the music director and also the orchestrator, you know, a couple weeks earlier about the possibility of doing this, because I should be clear that there's no harp in the musical, that all the harp things are done on the second keyboard part, which is brilliantly played by Kurt Crowley. He's fantastic. And so Alex sent me the music a couple days ahead of time, and also a board tape of a live recording of the show. And so basically I just immersed myself in this, just listening to it over and over again, trying to match what Kurt did, you know, but also make it real harp, because you want to put the harpistic stuff into it as well as what they do in the show. So try to balance it out to be faithful to what is done every night, but also make it special because you have a live harp, you might as well make it sound like a live harp. So basically I had 3 days to prepare. It was absolutely thrilling, but it was also a little bit intimidating because everybody else in the pit had been playing it almost a year. And then I just show up for the recording session with no rehearsal and sit down and record it with all these phenomenal musicians who know the music so well.
You had more time on the recording session than normal, correct?
That's correct. Yeah. Usually, at least with cast recordings, it's usually done like maybe in a couple of days. Like you might have 3 or 4 sessions to do the entire musical. So what they tend to do is they chop it up. They leave a lot of things out. They usually have just one CD. So what is that, 60, 70 minutes? What Alex and Lynn wanted to do with this is turn this into a real album, a real recording. And given all their skills and their experience, they got the absolute best producers, the best recording, including the people from The Roots. And so what they did is they took 2 full weeks, 6 days a week. And I think it was like 3 or sometimes 4 sessions a day. And they brought us all in. I did 2 sessions with them. And then he just mixed it at Atlantic Records for like a month. And it's a phenomenal thing. It's 2 CDs as opposed to 1, and it's the entire show. So that's very atypical, the level of detail and the amount of time that they spent on it. Really, it's just such a great quality thing, and it's very different from what other cast recordings tend to be.
My dearest Angelica, tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow creeps in this petty pace from day to day. I trust you'll understand the reference to another Scottish tragedy without my having to name the play. They think me Macbeth, ambition is my thought.
You're listening to Harp Column Podcast number 2. You can read more harp news, opinions, and feature stories, and subscribe to the print magazine at www.harpcolumn.com. Today, we are talking to Laura Sherman about the new hit Broadway cast recording of Hamilton.
So you got to work one-on-one with Alex, the orchestrator, correct?
Mm-hmm. Alex Lacamoire. He is the original key one player at Wicked. And he actually was our music director for a while at Wicked as well. And we've worked on a couple of other smaller projects together.
You mentioned in your article that his writing is very idiomatic.
And he just has a natural flair for it. I don't believe he's written much else, but when I asked him about it, he said he was inspired to include so much harp because of listening to me play at Wicked for all those years. And the harp parts at Wicked, too.
We don't often hear harp in a hip-hop or more urban context. What were the playing styles like, mostly, for the recording sessions?
A lot of arpeggios and things. Alex got very interested in some of the digital editions using glissandos. He uses the harp as a rhythmic instrument, which I love. Mahler a little bit does that, right? So, you know, we can't give credit only to the people today. And Stravinsky, of course, did that all the time. Groove, and like kind of, I would even call it like micro groove, is so important in this kind of music. A lot of it was to click track. But the relationship of where you put your notes to the click track changed all the time. And sometimes it changed per beat, per measure, per phrase. I mean, it was like we would stop and Alex would be like, okay, no, Laura, that this is a little bit more behind, you know, or phrase it to this beat or whatever. So it was incredible to work with time on such a micro level, such an intense, detailed level, and to have that sense of how things are phrased rhythmically. We always talk about how things are phrased melodically, right?
Right.
But to be able to work rhythmically on this level, it, first of all, it's one of the things that I love. Like, it's when I do my Bach work, I talk about this, believe it or not. I talk about groove playing Bach, and people are like, well, what are you, crazy? But no, how do you get that music to come alive, right? You know, so here I am working on a hip-hop musical using the same language and the same concepts that I use when I talk in my Bach lectures. I have to say about Alex, he's a walking encyclopedia of musical styles. And the guy is brilliant. He has ears like you would not believe. He made the Wicked Orchestra sound even better when he was music director because of his ways with people. You know, his managerial styles are so fantastic. His direction is great. His ears are phenomenal. And he's an incredible musician. So he picks up on things very quickly. And so just him listening to what William David Brown, who was the orchestrator for Wicked, did, he was able to pick out on what is idiomatic, what works, what doesn't work. And then just with a little bit of asking me a couple of questions, boom, he had it. And then when I had that one session with him, just one-on-one, it was just me and him, he went crazy with ideas. It was fantastic. He said, let's try this, let's try that. No, let's do it this way. What if you do this? And then because of his ears, he said, okay, how can we get some of that reverberation, you know, out, which is a common problem, right? Especially certain styles of music. Right. So I said, let me thread some paper into the wire strings. And so we did that. And he said, okay, well, let's see, let's add some digital delay harp on top of your acoustical harp. And let's see how that sounds. And so we just played with it. And to see his mind work during those 3 hours was one of the highs of my entire career.
Laura, where can people find you out in the world?
Well, I have a website. It's called wickedharp.com. And also on Facebook, my personal Facebook page, and also Gotham Harp Publishing has a page as well. So they can find me in those places. And if anybody ever comes up to New York and you're planning on seeing the show, let me know you're in town, because I definitely love to meet people and say hello, give them a hug, fellow harpists.
That's it for our second episode. Many thanks to Laura Sherman for taking the time out of her busy schedule to speak with us. Today's music came from the cast recording of Hamilton, with music and lyrics by Tony and Grammy winner Lin-Manuel Miranda. To learn more about Harp Column, visit www.harpcolumn.com and subscribe today to gain access to current and past issues and lots of great web content. Thanks again for joining us. I'm Christina Finch, and we at Harp Column hope you have a spectacular week.
As a woman who has never been satisfied,
I'm sure I don't know what you mean. You forget yourself.
You're like me. I'm never satisfied.
Is that right?
I've never been satisfied.
My name is Angelica Schuyler.
Alexander Hamilton.
Where's your family from?
Unimportant, there's a million things I haven't done. Just you wait, just you wait.